Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, we're going to hear an interview that I did today. It's airing this afternoon in Des Moines, Iowa on News Radio 1040 AM, WHO, with host Steve Days. He's their afternoon drive time host. It's about, Steve says he became sick to his stomach during the Iowa caucuses, talking to National Rights Life General Counsel James Bopp, listening to Christian leaders lie to pro-lifers about pro-abortion Republicans, and they're lying and saying that they're pro-life. A fascinating interview. I hope you enjoy it. By the way, Saturday night's banquet, Colorado Right to Life's annual banquet, was a tremendous success. It was a fundraiser, $100 a plate, and it took in significantly more money than last year's very successful banquet. And we're thrilled because this is the fall season with the personhood campaign. Please vote yes on Amendment 48 and tell your friends to vote yes for personhood in Colorado. And now also the Bob Inyart Live Telethon. We've taken in about $4,000 and we're almost there. Our goal is $35,000. We need your help. If you appreciate this show, please call us or go online at kgov.com or call us at 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278 to subscribe, make a one-time or monthly donation, or buy our Bible study resources, the plot and overview of the whole Bible, and our Bible study albums. We think you'll love it. It all comes with a money-back guarantee. And now, here's Steve Days in Des Moines, Iowa, Drive Time Radio, and they'll be listening to this about the same time we are right here in Colorado. So let's hit it, WHO Radio.
Well, we've been spending a lot of time today discussing Dr. James Dobson, who is a hero to many and has really been an exemplary character in the pro-family movement for decades now. And now with Dr. Falwell passing on, D. James Kennedy passing on, one could make the case that he's essentially become the titular head in this country of the religious right, which is what makes his various positions on Senator McCain in the public sphere so disconcerting to me, because not only am I concerned about the election, but I'm primarily concerned about our witness. And if people in the world see people of faith acting very double-mindedly, I think it maybe causes them to draw some conclusions about really what it really means to be a person of faith. And as we've gone through this the last few months since the caucuses, I've been pretty upfront about my various experiences. And about 6 weeks ago, I watched a video that a gentleman by the name of Mark Moe gave to me way back in February when I was speaking to some groups up in Fort Dodge. And it was one of those videos that I have a lot of people in the audience. You guys give me this stuff all the time, and I just don't have a chance to watch everything you give me. And I set this thing aside for several months, and then he contacted me and was like, "Hey, dude, where's my video?" And I was like, okay, let me look for it. My wife found it. I plop it in, and it's a video called Focus on the Strategy. And I'm watching this while I'm playing my Major League Baseball PlayStation 3 game in the middle of the night while the kids are asleep. And I've got my screen split up at home, and I'm watching this video. And I'm watching the gentleman on this video, Pastor Bob Inyart, with Denver Bible Church, and he's also with a group called American Right to Life. And I don't think I blinked for the first 35 minutes of this video because it was really, to me, the missing link of why we have seen so many things play out the way that they have in the so-called pro-life and pro-family movement. So that's why I thought today was a good day to have Mr. Inyart on the show for the very first time, and he's with us now in our WHO Radio Newsmaker line.
Steve, it's an honor to be on in Iowa. You guys led the nation with the Iowa caucuses, and we were there, too, with you. I know that you did a hero's job in warning people about Mitt Romney. We put out TV ads, and they ran about 150 times in Iowa, around the state, on Fox News Channel primarily, warning people that Mitt Romney is lying, that he is aggressively pro-abortion. He authorized funding to kill children by surgical abortion in Massachusetts for any reason, abortion on demand. And that he did that 2 years after his so-called conversion to become pro-life. So there are many pro-abortion politicians who realize they can lie to Christians and get away with it. Well, thanks to WHO and American Right to Life and a handful of other groups, we stopped Mitt Romney's bid for the presidency.
Had he won the Iowa caucuses, Bob, I think he would have been the Republican nominee.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the Des Moines Register made the comment, and this was talked about on some of the national news shows on TV, that the number one reason people from Iowa gave for not voting for Mitt Romney was that he was lying about being pro-life. He was lying. He was actually pro-abortion.
Really? Because I was listening to Rush, Sean, Laura, et al., and they were telling me it was anti-Mormon bigotry. Not true?
Not true. Not according to that comment from the Des Moines Register. And, you know, I'm concerned about the Mormon religion becoming more mainstream and being accepted, since it's not a Christian religion. It's a perversion of Christianity. I'm concerned about that. But here is a man who advocates killing unborn children for any reason, and he will give you tax dollars to help you do it. And he was lying to Christians, to pro-lifers, saying that he was pro-life. And we documented in a dozen different ways that Mitt Romney was aggressively pro-abortion.
On our WHO Radio Newsmaker line, we've got Bob Enyart. He's with American Right to Life. You can go to their website, AmericanRightToLife.org. You're listening to News Radio 1040 WHO. Bob, before we move on, tell folks, what is American Right to Life? I had not heard of it until about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, there was a pro-life leaders summit, a two-day summit in Colorado last year, and folks like Ambassador Alan Keyes came out, and the president of the second largest pro-life group in the country, Judy Brown, American Life League, ALL, and about 30 leaders from around the country. And we recognized that much of the pro-life movement has been co-opted by the Republican Party and Republican Party hacks and operatives, and they no longer have a commitment to honor God above all else and to be truthful about politicians who advocate killing kids, and that there's a crisis in the pro-life movement. And as a result, the judges that we've been nominating through our Republican pro-life presidents, it turns out that our Supreme Court justices are pro-choice, or that they reject the right to life of the unborn, so that there's a crisis that has developed over 40 years in the pro-life movement, and it needs to be rectified. And so that summit launched American Right to Life. That was announced by Time Magazine. Media outlets around the country have mentioned that there is now the personhood wing of the pro-life movement, and it's in opposition to decades of regulating abortion, where we pass laws that end with, and then you could kill the baby. Like, if you wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby. Or if you sign this piece of paper so that you're informed, then you could kill the baby. Or if you get your parents' permission, then you could kill the baby. So American Right to Life was formed to do two things. Of course, to teach people that the unborn child is made in God's image and likeness, so that they have their right to life from God, and therefore to advocate enforcement of God's enduring command, do not murder. Do not murder. And we don't have the right, even as Christian pro-lifers, to negotiate with the right to life of a child and make it some kind of second-tier negotiable issue that, well, if you give us this vice presidential pick, then we'll support your willingness to kill unborn children. We don't have the right to negotiate in that way.
You know, there's lots of things I want to run by you, Bob, that I discuss with our audience and give you a chance to respond to those in the audience who disagree with some of my contentions, which are probably, by the time we get done with this, going to be very similar to yours. Mm. And we didn't meet before today.
That's right.
And to me, I'm a data guy. I think that in the end, let's just find out what the truth is and follow the truth no matter where it leads. And a lot of folks who are older than me don't like hearing this, because I just turned 35, and I understand that. And I've only been doing a show like this for 2 years, and there's the temptation for me to come across as a know-it-all, and I think probably sometimes I do fall into that.
Well, Steve, I'm turning 50, so between you and I, we got 85 years. We got
right,
it on most right, of the
80,
listeners.
85 years. Then answer, riddle me this, if you don't mind, Batman. Okay, we've been at this now in the pro-life, pro-family movement for a generation in the political sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Is Planned Parenthood, Bob, more or less powerful than it was 35 years ago?
Far more. The number of surgical abortions they have performed per year have gone up steadily, and that's because there's a consolidation in the abortion industry, mm-hmm. and they have emerged as the mega abortion provider, and they are financially more well off than they've ever been. They received hundreds of millions of dollars of tax dollars just during the Bush years, and tragically, also John McCain has voted for Title X funding and all kinds of funding that ends up going to Planned Parenthood. And so Planned Parenthood is strong and getting stronger, and American Right to Life is out to not be comfortable coexisting with Planned Parenthood, but to bring an end to legalized child killing in the near future.
Over the last 35 years, Bob, is the homosexual movement stronger or weaker than it was before?
Tremendously stronger. It went from a fringe movement in 1979 when Ronald Reagan was campaigning to, by the end of the 12 years of Reagan-Bush, homosexuality was a leading political force in America, and it's gotten far stronger since then. And sadly, Focus on the Family helped the homosexual movement by advocating here in Colorado, statewide campaign, equal rights for homosexuals. And that's startling. We might have to talk through that. But equal rights for homosexuals, that was promoted through the Christian community by Focus on the Family in the early 1990s in Colorado's Amendment 2 battle.
The public school system, Bob, are they more or less pagan and secular than they were 35 years ago?
They're utterly godless, and they're also child sex advocates. The public school juggernaut is attacking Christianity in every conceivable way, and a Christian teacher in the public schools knows that she has to keep her mouth shut. The homosexual atheist teacher brags about his lifestyle and his beliefs.
Our churches, are they more or less biblically ignorant than they were 35 years ago?
Churches have lost an understanding of God's word, and they've been taken out of the battle because they believe the lie from Satan that we're not to judge. Jesus said, "Don't judge, you hypocrite. First, stop committing the same sin, and then you're able to judge." But Christians have been taken out of the battle, and as a result, young women in our churches are having abortions at the same rate of women who are not churched, and our Christian marriages are ending in divorce at the same rates. So the body of Christ, the morality of the body of Christ, has been destroyed as our Christian leaders have become secular humanist and moral relativist, and we could document that.
And then finally, in the culture, is the name of God more or less revered than it was 35 years ago?
God is mocked on our TV shows, in our movies, in our news networks. The Red Cross took out an ad, nationwide ads, how do you follow an act of God? And they were talking about some kind of cruelty, like a flood, a fire, an earthquake. How do you follow an act of God? With an act of man. Give to the Red Cross, presenting God as the one who causes heartache. And the Red Cross, and of course they promote homosexuality and their own form of godlessness, as the Red Cross is the savior and God is the one who hurts people.
Now here's why I bring all this up. To me, that data is incontrovertible. So my question is, listen, people have been saying for the last 20 years, how many more dollars do we spend on a welfare state that's failed? And I agree. Do we try it 10 more years, 20 more years, 30 more years?
Right.
The same thing I think you could apply to the pro-family, pro-life movement. How many more years? Tell me, Bob, how many more years? Till my kids are grown, till my grandkids are born?
Right.
How many more years do we just continue this strategy before we should expect to at some point see some fruit on the tree? Or is there a point when we simply say, all we've accomplished is helping a lot of people raise a lot of money?
Well, there's two things, Steve, and your analysis insight is right on target. Two things about that. One, the partial birth abortion ban. For 15 years, the pro-life industry was raising money to ban partial birth abortion. From the first day, they knew that even if they succeeded, which they now have, that it would not have the authority to protect not one baby. It couldn't stop not one abortion, because abortionists are trained in all kinds of methods. And sure enough, the babies are killed in more painful ways than they even were with partial birth abortion. and the industry raised $250 million. American Right to Life hired a CPA to do the research to find out how much money was raised over 15 years by pro-life groups advocating the partial birth abortion ban, which was a fiasco and a failure, and over $250 million was raised. And now that that ban is successful, the Supreme Court upheld it in Gonzales v. Carhart last year. We took out full-page ads, we, American Right to Life, in newspapers around the country, including Dr. Dobson's own hometown newspaper, Colorado Springs Gazette, and the ads exposed how the partial birth abortion ban was a fraud and a fiasco. And Dr. Dobson wrote in his monthly newsletter, Focus on the Family, he acknowledged, he admitted that ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life. Steve, that was a great tragedy. Christians, pro-lifers gave in good faith, sincerely, their hard-earned money for 15 years, and that money was used to prop up a pro-life industry that has lost sight of God's enduring command, do not murder, and they negotiate with child killers on the different ways to kill kids, but it brings in millions of dollars.
We just tuned in on our WHO radio newsmaker line as Bob Enyart. He's with American Right to Life. You can go to their website, AmericanRightToLife.org. That's .org here on News Radio 1040 WHO. You brought up Dr. Dobson, and that was a topic we discussed quite a bit with the audience in the first 2 hours. And I'm not enjoying this. I want everybody to know this again. I am not enjoying this. I'm not enjoying the interview we did with Phyllis Schlafly a couple of weeks ago that went very, very poorly. I'm not enjoying this. I really wish I could put my head in the sand and believe that all these people that we anointed as our leaders are watchers on the wall, and we can go back to our Pleasant Valley Sundays while they do the necessary dirty work for us. But the reality is I first began to see during the Iowa caucuses when Jim Bopp sat next to me in a Perkins and lied to me right to my face.
Jim Bopp is the architect, the political, legal architect of National Right to Life for the last 30 years. He's their general counsel. National Right to Life split the odds. They doubled down. They endorsed two candidates for president. Fred Thompson, who's from L.A. Law or Law and Order, whatever. He is pro-abortion. He lobbied for NARAL recently. The only thing he said during the campaign was he's against the Human Life Amendment. Fred Thompson is pro-choice. And they endorsed Mitt Romney by having their attorney, general counsel, James Bopp, join Mitt Romney's campaign team and travel the country lying to Christians saying that Mitt Romney is pro-life when Mitt Romney authorized funding for surgical elective abortion statewide in Massachusetts. And that's 2 years after his lying conversion to the pro-life movement.
How about a $50 copay abortion with Planned Parenthood on the State Board of Health after you instill a mandated health care plan? He did that after his alleged pro-life conversion as well.
That's absolutely right. And he appointed pro-abortion judges. And he did so many things to encourage and support the abortion industry. And then he said, I'm pro-life. He simply lied to us. And National Right to Life saw his money. He spent about $6 million in Iowa. He built an extraordinary organization on the ground, and it looked like he had a chance of becoming the Republican nominee. So they are interested in having a seat at a table that's dripping with vomit and children's blood. They wanted a seat at that table, so they lied to Christians and said that Mitt Romney was pro-life. Could you tell me, I don't know the story, Steve, how did James Bopp, because he's lied to us, how did he lie to you at that table?
What happened is he organized a private dinner, well, it was somewhat semi-private, a private luncheon in December with some people over at the Iowa Christian Alliance and a few other activists. I got wind of it, found out I was going to be at the Perkins right down my street. Somebody that I know inside the organization said, hey, heads up, he's coming in here to try to, you know, essentially get the drop on people. So since it was right down the street from my house, I called up my pastor, and our church was right down the street from it as well. I said, hey, you want to head over to this thing? He said, you bet. So we crashed it and just showed up. And he sat down right next to me, Jim Bopp did, I mean right next to me in a booth at Perkins with about six or seven other activists, if my memory serves. and proceeded to immediately lecture us about why we aren't immediately behind Mitt Romney and we must stop Giuliani and McCain. And of course, now he'll go out there and tell you that McCain is a great choice. And then, you know, why can't we rally the base and get people behind the one true conservative candidate, the one true pro-life candidate with a chance of winning in Mitt Romney? And then he began to pick a fight with me. I had not spoken up until this point to him at all. He began to pick a fight with me, and so I began to answer back. And I pointed out several facts in Mr. Romney's record. He told me right to my face, those simply aren't true. I said, Jim, they absolutely are the truth. He said, no, those aren't true. I pointed out to him how Mitt Romney had flip-flopped three times in the last 90 days alone on a human life amendment. Okay, I gave him the direct quotes. He told me that's not true. I said, yes, it is. I said, Jim, how about we hop in my van? We'll take a trip down the interstate to our radio studio. I've got volumes of audio on your boy. I'd be happy to play it for you, and you can respond to each one of those clips if you'd like. And he refused to do that and just continued to perpetuate the lie and the myth right to our faces that Mitt Romney was pro-life.
Yeah, it's such a lie. In fact, he said this. Mitt Romney said, on every piece of legislation, I came down on the side of life. He said that, Steve. That is a lie. In April 2006, he signed the Massachusetts Healthcare Reform Plan that pays for even elective abortions, And he's done a lot of other things to promote, even helping, for example, helping in a Planned Parenthood fundraiser. There's a photograph of him holding a check his wife wrote to Planned Parenthood.
Bob, why do I get the sneaking suspicion? And we're talking to Bob Enyart from American Right to Life. You know, Romney to me is a symbol of the disease. He's a symptom of the real disease. The real disease is our own leadership, which has fought for so many years to get prominence in the Republican Party. Now they're really indistinguishable from the party itself. So why do I just know? Why do I just know that if Willard would have been the nominee, or Giuliani would have been the nominee, or Hillary Clinton would have been the Republican Party nominee, I'd hear all the exact same arguments from all the exact same people, Perkins, Bauer. I love Dr. Dobson to death, but frankly, audience, I wouldn't give a dime of money to Donald Wildman. I wouldn't give a dime of money to Gary Bauer. I wouldn't give a dime of money to Tony Perkins. And I wouldn't give a dime of money to Focus on the Family's action plan either. I just simply would not. I don't trust any of these groups. Why do I know, Bob, if it was Giuliani or Romney the nominee, they'd make all the same arguments they're making right now for McCain? If the Republicans nominate anybody, and we're going to hear the same arguments.
Yeah, that's true, because the loyalty is no longer to God. The loyalty is now to the Republican Party. And when we talk about Dr. Dobson, we have a love for him. We're here in Colorado, Steve, and the first time I read one of Dr. Dobson's books was 27 years ago. Cheryl, my wife, and I have raised seven boys, and I read his Dare to Discipline. And the last time we read one of his books, Cheryl read his Bringing Up Boys just in the last year. Our youngest is 7 years old. And we have a love for Dr. Dobson, an undying love, but he has sadly now broken his pledge made before God, and they're still playing the video of the pledge from the Rally for Life in Washington, D.C. They're still playing it in the Welcome Center at Focus on the Family, and he said this. He said, and he invoked the name of God.
I'll tell you what, I'll do one better. I've got the audio of it right here. Let's play it for the audience if you can respond. This is Dr. Dobson in one of the most passionate defenses of voting pro-life I've ever seen back in 1990. Here it is.
Finally, I want to give a pledge to you on a political level, and I'm speaking for myself, not Focus on the Family, which is a non-political organization. I can just tell you that I have determined that for the rest of my life, however long God lets me live on this earth, I will never cast one vote for any man or woman who would kill one innocent baby.
Now, Bob, if McCain essentially has the Stephen Douglas position on abortion, which is slavery is wrong, but, you know, let the states decide.
And that's brand new. That's just his latest
dodge. He was against even repealing Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, he got that deception, that grave wickedness. He picked it up from Ron Paul and the libertarian Christian pro-lifers who have given federal politicians a way out of their obligation to protect unborn children. The lie that the states have the authority, that it's a states' rights issue. There is no right to kill an innocent child.
So the states can trump the Declaration of Independence, which says we have an unalienable right to to life, liberty, and the pursuit of... So if the state of Missouri said, hey, a black person's property, then he is?
Right, exactly. What absurdity.
If the state of Colorado says it's not a baby, it's an unviable tissue mass, so it is.
Yeah, and if Massachusetts wants to kill Jews, put them in concentration camps, what, they have that right? It's a state's right? That is absurd. Even the federal Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, Articles 5 and Articles 14, make it clear that every person has a right to life and that no state can deprive any person of their right to life without due process. That means you have to be able to face your accusers and be convicted of a capital crime, and then you could be killed. And so we have John McCain denying the 5th and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. But this is only in the last weeks. He picked up this grave wickedness from Ron Paul on the primary campaign trail. He never said this before. He's always said abortion should be banned except for rape and incest. And he said that because he's trying to get Republican pro-life money and votes. That's why he says that. In his heart of hearts, he couldn't care less if you kill unborn children. His own wife, Cindy, said it on CBS News with Katie Couric during the RNC just 2 weeks ago. She was asked, what is your position on abortion? And Cindy McCain, the candidate's wife, said, oh, I'm pro-life. And she was asked, Katie Couric said, well, how about Roe v. Wade? Do you want to overturn Roe v. Wade? She said, oh, no, I don't.
All right, well, here's why this matters, because you just heard Dr. Dobson make a vow that he would never vote for a candidate. As long as God allows him to remain on this earth, he would never vote for a candidate that would kill even one of these babies. Let's listen. This is Dr. Dobson. Here's a couple of clips. First, number one, Dr. Dobson earlier this year on why he will not vote for McCain. Here it is.
He's not in favor of traditional marriage, and I pray that we won't get stuck with him.
James Dobson, founder of the evangelical powerhouse Focus on the Family, was speaking on a Christian radio program last week. Dobson said there's no way he'll get behind McCain's bid for the White House.
I would not vote for John McCain under any circumstances.
Here's James Dobson saying the same thing yet again on another show.
You know that I'm a patriot. I love my country, and I'm deeply concerned about it right now. And the fact that I would even consider not casting a vote for a presidential candidate, I certainly will vote for all the other issues and people on the ballot. But the fact that I would not vote for the president if it comes down to Obama and Clinton versus McCain, I simply can't in good conscience be a party to putting any of them in power, because I believe they'll do irreparable harm to our country.
And then this is just days after Sarah Palin was the VP nominee. Bob, this clip is just about 2 minutes, but I think you'll find it interesting. This is Dr. Dobson on Hannity and Combs.
Alan's good to be on the program.
So does this mean you're now going to vote based on the bottom of the ticket, but not based on the top of the ticket?
No, I'll vote for the ticket. At least that is what I believe and what I feel. I did say in the beginning I could not vote for John McCain. I meant it. I had some very serious concerns about his candidacy, but it's been a long campaign and a lot of things have changed, and I have steadily moved in his direction. When you look at the alternatives and what's at stake, I feel a whole lot better, especially after today.
Dr. Dobson, you said, I'm convinced John McCain is not a conservative. Has John McCain changed and become a conservative, or have you changed and accepted somebody who's not a conservative?
Well, a whole lot changed when I heard the debate with Barack Obama at Saddleback. I thought Senator McCain did an outstanding job. He said things that I believe, some things that I hadn't heard him say, some things that sounded like a conviction to me. And that began moving me in his direction. And then, of course, this choice of Governor Palin, I tell you, that was one of the most exciting moments of the political season.
You also said in the past John McCain is a legendary temper and often uses foul and obscene language. Does his temperament still concern you as someone who would be the commander-in-chief, or is that something that you aren't concerned about anymore?
Well, it does. But I've done a lot of thinking and some praying about this. And you always have to choose between two flawed individuals. All of us are sinful. All of us have characteristics that we really wish were not there. And there are situations where you have to examine the choices that are there and make the best decision you can. And I have been moving in this direction, and I feel good about it.
Bob, the first time I saw or heard that audio, I have to tell you, I almost wept.
Yeah.
It is so heartbreaking to hear it.
Yes, Steve.
There's no critical thinking there at all. And then there's the classic evangelical trump card. When you don't want to be called into question for your decisions, you always say, I prayed about it, and I felt really good about what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, when somebody calls into my talk show, I've been on the air 5 days a week for 17 years, and they say, God told me, I say, well, then let me hang up. If God told you, I can't possibly argue with God.
Yeah, why are you getting second-person verification from me?
Yeah, that's right. So John McCain supports killing children. For example, he supports killing millions of children, millions. But for example, if a child's father is a rapist, is a criminal, he deems that child unworthy of love and the protection of law. So that child will be killed in John McCain's America. He advocates it. He authorizes
funding. You mean children like my mother-in-law, who is the product of a rape? You mean children like her?
Yeah, right, exactly. He authorizes funding, tax money, your money, my money, to kill those kids. So now Dr. Dobson, James Dobson, took a pledge. He invoked heaven. He invoked the name of God. And he said, as long as God lets me live on this earth, and he has replayed that pledge on his radio show over the years repeatedly, including just this past year, and it's still playing to this very day in the Focus on the Family Welcome Center. And he has violated the pledge he took before God because John McCain advocates killing more than one child, many children, millions of children.
But Barack Obama, we know what we're going to get with him, Bob.
Yeah, that's the boogeyman factor.
Yeah.
The boogeyman factor. God's word tells us, do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who will cast body and soul into hell. And so it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. When you fear the boogeyman, when you're afraid of the boogeyman, you are going to behave badly. You're going to make bad decisions. You're going to be unwise. You're going to operate in the flesh. You're not going to be trusting God above all else.
But Bob, if I could vote to save even one baby, shouldn't I do that?
Yeah, and here's absolutely. Yeah, we should save. If 1,000 are dying and we could save one innocent person, we should. But we should never agree to kill one, to authorize killing one to save another or save 1,000. That's what is wrong. It is wrong to say, I will support this killing of this one child or these 3 million children to try to save those other children. When you do that, you break God's enduring command, do not murder.
I've got about 30 seconds. Where does the pro-life, pro-family movement go from here? Because I think it's headed over a cliff myself.
It is, but there's the personhood wing of the pro-life movement is advancing while the child-killing regulators are on the defensive. American Right to Life has a political arm, ARTLAction.com. It's a 527. And Steve, we are exposing the pro-abortion Republicans and the Christians who have become moral relativists and who are selling out to partisan politics. So our job is to tell the truth and to follow God's lead, and he will bless, and he is blessing.
Bob Enyart, American Right to Life. You can go to the website AmericanRightToLife.org. Bob, thanks for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. What an honor. Fascinating conversation with Des Moines, Iowa on News Radio 1040 AM, WHO, with host Steve Days. He's their afternoon drive time host. But right now, a very important announcement from Audra Reif from Boulder, Colorado. Audra, the 40 Days for Life is starting all over this country. Could you tell us about it?
Correct. 40 Days for Life has become a national campaign. It is in over 174 cities nationwide. We are all praying for 40 days. We're fasting for 40 days. And we are doing constant vigils for 40 days to pray to end abortion in America.
That is so exciting. And you're going to have one of these cities is Boulder, Colorado. And your event will begin tomorrow night with a kickoff rally. And then you'll have your vigils at that late-term abortionist clinic, Warren Hearn. So tell us about the kickoff rally tomorrow night first.
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we have a very special event. We have a kickoff rally and a candlelight vigil at the memorial wall for the unborn. This is at Sacred Heart.
The memorial wall for the unborn, there are hundreds or even, over 5,000 babies buried there?
Correct. They estimate at the least amount that there are probably 5,500 babies that have been buried at this memorial wall. And they've all actually, as a matter of fact, come from Dr. Hearn's clinic. Mm.
And the speaker, I know the woman, the author, is going to speak. Tell us about Jane Brennan.
Oh, I'm so excited to announce that Jane Brennan, the author of Motherhood Interrupted, will be our keynote speaker at our kickoff rally. She was formerly with Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
Formerly a very vigilant, quote-unquote, pro-choice advocate. Mm-hmm. And now she works for life.
That's the Jane who called into our radio program back during the DNC a month ago. So this is going to be exciting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then tell me about the vigils. It's at Warren Hearn's Abortion Clinic at Alpine and Broadway. We've been there many times in Boulder.
Yes. Well, we're asking people to sign up for an hour to come down and pray and fast in a vigil for us, 1 hour at a time. Everyone that comes out to the vigil must sign a statement of peace that they'll conduct themselves peacefully while they're out there, because this really about prayer.
That's
because
right.
Because we know that prayer is what's going to change this.
Audra Reif, is there a website or a phone number we could give people?
Yes, it's www.40daysforlife.com, and that's the number, 40daysforlife.com/Boulder will get you to the Boulder website.
That's so great, /Boulder. Audra, thank you so much for announcing this on Bob and Yurt Live.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Okay,
God bless
we'll try
you
to
all.
Come up and see you one of these days, one of the vigils. May God bless you, Audra. That important announcement, please remember that. And our telethon, guess what? We're at $5,700. $5,700 in the Bob and Yurt Live annual September telethon. Please help. We have $29,300 to go. So we're getting there. Call us 800-8-NYART in Maranatha. What a great school.